The towers, poles, and wires that stretch across the landscape deliver a steady stream of electrons, electricity, to our homes, offices, farms, and factories. We rely so heavily on this mysterious, invisible force that it's nearly impossible not to take it for granted. But could these poles and wires also be delivering something that isn't beneficial? Could they also be delivering something that's damaging our health? More and more people are coming to believe that electricity and its unintended byproducts are making families and livestock seriously ill. These are their stories.
One of these calves was born with an opening about a foot long right over the umbilical. And this calf appeared to be born alive but died shortly afterwards, and it was dead when I found it. But it had this opening, and a lot of the organs had just fallen outside the body.
Thomas and Sharon Revere operate a dairy farm in northwest Minnesota. During the 1980s, the Reveres noticed a significant decline in their herd's milk production. Around the same time, they also saw a decline in the health of their cows.
If they got any stress on them, or any disease or sickness, we couldn't seem to pull them out of it. They would just deteriorate rather than get well. They didn't respond to normal treatments. We'd have the vet come several times and they would just continue to deteriorate until often they died.
Their veterinarians have attributed the cows' problems to environmental factors. Dealing with stillborn calves and dying cows has become a part of the Revere's daily routine. But coping with sick livestock isn't their hardest burden.
We have three children that were born with unusual birth defects. And although they aren't exactly the same, there is some relationships. Our youngest son, Paul, was born with lungs that were not completely developed properly. And as a result, he can't exchange air and carbon dioxide in the manner that he should be able to. At first, they said it was a genetic disorder, but after several years of dealing with him and running some tests, they've determined that it's not genetic, and therefore we assume that it was environmental. He's past the age now where the lung tissue can regenerate itself, and he also has chronic pneumonias, which continually damage the tissue. So he's gradually losing lung function capacity.
Sharon has taken over much of the extensive care for Paul and maintains the complex equipment that's keeping him alive.
When they discovered in January just how bad his lungs were, the doctor then said he didn't think he held much hope for more than California. He didn't think he'd live past 4 years, another 4 years.
After years of research and consulting with dozens of doctors, the Reveres came to suspect the high-tension electrical lines that run along the edge of their property. A few years ago, an industrial power quality expert took comprehensive measurements on the Revere farm and confirmed that they had a problem with what's sometimes called stray voltage. Not only were high levels of ground currents and high-frequency electrical pollution coursing through their barn, they were also streaming through their house.
Electricity appears to affect their cows' production and the cows' health. We also feel that it affects our family's health.
the Revere's routinely experience extreme fatigue, nausea, and headaches. They've repeatedly asked their electrical utility for help, but so far, those requests have fallen on deaf ears.
Paul did have an older sister who had lung and heart problems also.
Immediately following her birth, their daughter was admitted to the ICU at Children's Hospital in nearby Fargo.
There she was put on oxygen support and a respirator. And they kept her going for a year and a half. She was just a little angel to the nurses in the hospital. Once her heart stopped, it never beat again.
Dave Stetzer is an electrical contractor and power quality expert who spent most of his career helping factories and other businesses solve power quality problems. In recent years, Stetzer has visited hundreds of homes and farms throughout the Midwest, where he's used specialized diagnostic instruments to measure electrical pollution. At nearly all of these homes, residents consistently report symptoms that include nausea, fatigue, headaches, depression, even seizures. One of the places Stetzer took measurements was at the John and Debbie Byrol farm in central Wisconsin. At one time, the Byrols ranked among the top 60 milk producers in the country. But in 1992, things started to go sour. Their milk production took a nosedive, and then their cows started dying.
Also, when we did autopsies, we found where they were healthy cattle, but for some reason their blood vessels would rupture, and they bled to death inside. The vet's comment at that time, he says, "I think there's something that is underlying here." He says, "You work far harder than the normal farmer, that there's something else going on here in the environment." But we've had other sores, like on their hocks, and some udder ulcers that in the early years, we never seen any of that kind of problems. My veterinarians firmly believe that what's going on here on this farm is electrically related.
Like the Revere's in Minnesota, the Byrols began to suspect a link between electrical pollution and their own health.
As a family, we have everything from headaches, nauseousness, upset stomachs, a lot of times impending flu symptoms that never break.
You're kind of in denial for a while. You just think that it's affecting the cows, but then when you start to walk like they do, and when you get up in the morning, you're as stiff as the cows are. You know, I told my friends that my parents actually, that I feel 100 years old some mornings.
As a result of watching specialized monitoring equipment that was installed on their farm, they've determined that when the electrical activity is high, they feel worse.
I always knew that it had to be electrical because so many times we'd get sick in the barn and you'd have this upset stomach, and it was like when you got a shock, the few seconds after you got a shock off an electric fence, you had this sickening, hollow feeling in your stomach.
In 1992, the same year that the Byrols started having problems, electrical utilities in Wisconsin and across the country installed ground rods on utility poles. The purpose was to alleviate overloading on the neutral wires that return current to the distribution hubs in order to complete a circuit. But this returning current is polluted with high-frequency energy that's spilled back into the power grid by computers, home electronics, and certain kinds of industrial motors. Once this polluted current is released into the ground, it finds the path of least resistance back to the distribution hub. If a house or farm is in that path, those structures become conductors of electrical pollution.
I spent 2 years trying to get the utilities to fix it. They wouldn't do anything. So then we did some more rearranging on the farm here, like rewiring and whatnot. Then we were convinced that this was out of our hands. So we went back to the utilities. They would come and check, do this, do that. They couldn't find anything, and Well, basically, they'd say, the levels are so low here on your farm, there's nothing we can do, and they'd walk away.
Scientists had determined that high-frequency electrical pollution enters the home in two ways.
One is over the ground, coming across the floors into the house that way, water pipes, et cetera, et cetera. The second way is on the electrical phase conductors, the hot wires, so to speak, that come into the panel, which is then applied to every receptacle in the house, every light switch, every light, the wires run ahead, above your head, below your feet, around your body, in every room that you're in.
The high-frequency pollution that Stetzer and other experts have measured in homes across the country is in the frequencies that scientists know have a definite and measurable effect on human cells. Dr. Martin Graham of the Electronic Research Laboratory at Cal Berkeley released a white paper in which he deemed high-frequency voltages entering homes and businesses on electrical wires a ubiquitous pollutant. The paper also detailed a method for detecting and measuring these undesirable high frequencies. A couple of days after Catherine Kleiber and her husband moved into a new home east of Madison, Wisconsin, she became ill and was diagnosed with chronic fatigue syndrome.
And I had so much short-term memory loss, and I just couldn't think. It was like thinking in a fog. I graduated with an honors degree in zoology from the UW in Madison, and really enjoyed my academics. And so I found losing my mind very, very hard. It was, I think, probably even harder than not being able to do anything physically, was not being able to think.
The Kleibers decided to shut off most of the power to their home.
I'm totally convinced that poor power quality is a cause of my problem, because I don't feel bad if I'm not in a place where the power quality is a problem. If I'm at home with my circuits shut off and things under normal conditions, I'm pretty good. But if I go most places have power quality problems. If you plug in a meter and look, it's bad. And if they're not too bad, I feel, you know, pretty okay. And if it's really bad, I feel really bad.
A few years ago, Marilyn Wilson of Madison began experiencing symptoms similar to Kleiber's.
Memory problems, concentration problems, short-term memory problems in particular. I felt very, very tired. I could not sleep. My body hurt. The symptoms were just really, really terrifying to me, and I thought that it felt like I had a brain tumor.
After Dave Stetzer found high levels of electromagnetic pollution in her house, he installed a filter on the electrical service entering the home.
My cognitive abilities are much, much better than what they were. I can remember phone numbers. I can remember best friends' names again. I can remember what I'm walking towards to do. I'm really grateful for my memory and concentration coming back.
Several studies have demonstrated proven links between high-frequency radiation and a host of diseases. A recent study by Sir Richard Dahl, the British scientist who first established the link between smoking and cancer, shows a connection between high-voltage power lines and childhood leukemia. In 1998, Dr. Neil Cherry of Lincoln University released a report correlating exposure to high-frequency radiation and a number of conditions, including reproductive ailments, certain types of cancer, and chronic fatigue. A draft report by the EPA in 1990 recommended that electromagnetic fields be classified as a Class B carcinogen, like formaldehyde or dioxin. For unexplained reasons, this report was never published in its final form. When Angela and Adam Topper moved into their new home in Downing, Wisconsin, they quickly found out that something wasn't right.
My son, oldest son, Anthony, just all of a sudden he came in for a nap, and I just thought he was cold or something, because he was 2.5 years old, and or the flies were bothering him or something, I don't know, because his right leg was just shaking. He was on his belly, and his right leg kept shaking, so I got a blanket to cover him. And here, his eyes were kind of in like a dead stare kind of thing, and his foaming at the mouth.
The Toppers had no family history of seizures, and after extensive tests, doctors confessed they didn't know what had caused Anthony's episode. Shortly after that, Angela's other two children also experienced seizures.
At one particular time, we had two hospitalized at the same time. They were both in, Dustin was 18 months and Jocelyn was 9 weeks old.
The Toppers had the health department test the water, air, and soil around their home. Those tests came back negative. But when Dave Stetzer took measurements in the home, he found an unusually high incidence of high-frequency electrical pollution. Placing electrodes between the countertop and the vinyl floor, he measured a low-voltage 60-cycle current, the same type of power that's generated by electrical utilities. Oscilloscope readings showed that, riding on the 60-cycle current, were high levels of spurious high-frequency energy.
Just the fact that I have three kids and I love children, and it's the scariest thing in the world to go through. To watch them helplessly, like, have seizures and be in hospitals all the time.
A National Electrical Safety Council publication clearly outlines a solution for alleviating ground currents. But so far, no utilities have taken action. And despite the growing body of research linking electromagnetic fields to illness, the electrical utilities and most state health officials maintain that the research is inconclusive and that ground currents and high-frequency pollution aren't a problem. But a study published by EPRI, the Utility Industries Research Center, stated that low-level contact current may explain the reported associations of residential electromagnetic fields with childhood leukemia.
We have gone to our utilities repeatedly, and it's most of the time it's either lies or we're misled. And I have given up all hope.
While the Reveres, Byros, Toppers, and others continue their around-the-clock struggles, the one thing they want most is a solution.
People need to step up to this problem and take their responsibility seriously. If you know that this is something that's causing childhood leukemia, chronic fatigue syndrome, fibromyalgia, attention deficit disorder, and different kinds of cancers, people need to take this seriously. And people need to step up to their responsibility and work collectively to fix it.
I've talked to many different dairy farmers throughout the state of Minnesota. And when I hear their stories about the problems they're having with their cows, with their family's health, and with their struggles with the utilities, it sounds like I'm hearing our own story. They're just so similar. And it just can't be that people all over the whole state of Minnesota and Wisconsin and Michigan are all coming to the same conclusions just through sheer coincidence. It just couldn't happen.